We're so glad for everyone that's here and for those around the world that are listening by way of internet. We hope that you are thoroughly blessed as we continue with part three of church membership. How important is it, and is it biblical? Last week we talked about family. Just to summarize a little, we talked about the spiritual family in heaven and the spiritual family on earth. We talked about church family, the relationship of church fathers and sons and daughters in the church. We covered just a bit on the blood family relationship, which is a biological family. We also covered the term Israel, and we came to understand that Israel means overcomer, and that ancient Israel was, or the nation of Israel was literal Israel, or blood Israel, or biological Israel. But we've come to the church age where Israel is now spiritual Israel. And Israel is now made up of the church of overcomers. We want to continue with this theme, going a little further. We have today a church condition. There is a family condition among the churches, those who profess Christianity. It's called Laodicea, and it's found in Revelation chapter 3. And we need to go there. Revelation chapter 3. I've decided to divide this study into two, so we'll have part four next week and maybe the conclusion of this. There's so much more material than I realized, and I didn't want to go as long this week as I had gone last week. I sort of went over my time last week. Revelation 3:18 is the invitation or the remedy to the Laodicean church condition. And Christ says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white clothing, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. What we want today is to have spiritual discernment. We need the eye salve. We need the Holy Spirit to give us clear spiritual understanding. We can't come here, open the Bible, and just read words. We must understand these words and be able to apply them in a spiritual context. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not, or does not accept, the things of the Spirit of Yah, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually judged. Today, we're going to be covering material, and next week as well, which will require spiritual discernment. Let's turn to Malachi 3:16, a prophetic passage. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then they that feared Yah spake often one to another, and Yah hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yah and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yah, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yah and him that serveth him not. This is the day in which Yah is making up his jewels. We are living in the very last part of time, when Yah would put together his precious jewels. And we have talked many times before about the 144,000. These are his first fruits. These are his most precious jewels that he's making up in this last part of time. And there is a return to discernment. We, being called to the group of 144,000, must have spiritual discernment. We must be able to discern between holy and unholy. We must be able to discern between righteousness and wickedness. We must be able to discern the importance of church membership. Let's go to Psalm 73:13. This is a familiar Adventist passage. Psalm 73:13. It says there, Psalm 77:13, please correct your notes. Thy way, O Yah, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as Yah? Yah's way is in the sanctuary. And if you remember, there was a sanctuary on the earth, and there is a sanctuary in heaven. The sanctuary on earth was patterned after the sanctuary in heaven, as we will read here shortly. But first of all, we want to go directly to some of the instructions that Yah gave to Moses concerning the high priest. Exodus 28, we'll go there. In context to the sanctuary now. Exodus chapter 28, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now, if you will remember, Aaron, the high priest, is a type of Christ. Christ is now our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. Aaron was high priest in the earthly. Now, let's look at the pattern of the clothing that the earthly high priest had by the instruction of Yah. Starting in Exodus 28, starting in verse 1, And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now remember, think of this spiritually now, and be thinking of this in terms of Christ's high priestly work in the heavenly sanctuary as well. Verse 4, And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre or turban, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and pure and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. Now, we're not going to go into the meanings of all of these things today, but this is an interesting study. And all of these colors and such have some significance. Verse 7. It shall have the two shoulders thereof, joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together, or united together. Here we have a symbol of unity. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, of purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen. Now we get into some very, very significant points concerning church membership. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. According to their birth. Now here we're talking about biological family. We're talking about blood family. We're talking about tribes of Israel by birth. But in the spiritual family of Israel, how do we become part of the tribes of Israel? By birth, by the new birth, by being born again from above. You see, we are born into the family of Yah, which is in heaven, and we are now basically worshiping in the heavenly sanctuary. We're not in the earthly tabernacle anymore. We're in the heavenly sanctuary. But Yahshua, our high priest, is wearing this same garment, because the earthly was patterned after the heavenly. So we have two onyx stones on either shoulder. Six of the tribes' names are in one, and six are in the other, according to their birth. Now in the heavenly, it would be according to their new birth, not their blood birth. Verse 11. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Do you know what that word signet means? Literally, it means seal. The work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings or the writings of a seal. We're going to go further. Shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel? Thou shalt make them to be set in settings of gold. What is the faith of Yahshua? It is gold tried in the fire. We as newborn children of Yah are to be set in the faith of Yahshua, born from above, engraved in stone as a seal, and placed upon the shoulders of the high priest. Verse 12, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial. Do you know what the word memorial means? Record. For a record. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a record. Unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before Yah upon his two shoulders for a memorial or record. And thou shalt take settings of gold. etc. We have an example of a church membership covenant here. And we have names. We have signatures. We have the dates of the signatures, and we have a commitment to keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua. It is set in gold. This is a record. This is a record on earth that is also recorded in heaven upon the shoulders of the high priest as a seal and a record placed before Yah. Let's go further. Let's go to Luke 15, 4 through 6. To carry this a little bit further concerning the shoulders. Luke 15, 4 through 6. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. It is written that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Do you not realize that your name is numbered? How would the shepherd know which sheep was lost had he not kept his name in his heart? And when he finds that lost sheep, he places it upon his shoulders to carry it home. The high priest carries us even now upon his shoulders until he brings us home to heaven. We are not a nameless people. We have a name, and it is engraved in stone upon the shoulders of our high priest. Isaiah 49. A little bit more spiritual understanding of this. And as this, the truth of this strikes home with you, you may have an inclination to have tears coming from your eyes. As even I do at this very moment. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. And you who are mothers should be very touched by this, as we all are. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. Our Savior was crucified, nailed to a tree. Those nails engraved our name upon his palms. He knows us by name. Revelation 2:17, a promise to the overcomers. a promise to Israel. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. If you can't understand this today, you're not going to receive it. But if you do understand it, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have spiritual discernment, you will receive it, and you will understand the name that is written in your stone, that white stone. Do you know that the onyx stones that these names were engraved in? I studied a little bit about onyx stones. Onyx stones were anciently used for seals. They were good stones to engrave names in, and they were used as seals to seal names. Used for signatures. And in that onyx stone, there was white. Some of the more pure onyx stones may have been mostly white. Nevertheless, he says, I will give you a white stone with a new name written therein. Now, here's an interesting concept if we want to look at it. And this may be what he's referring to. Let's go to Revelation 21:10. I'm sure that light will unfold from this study, brighter even than it is right now. And those of you who are hearing this around the world may be inspired by some new light, and we would appreciate you sharing with us. Revelation 21:10-12. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yah, having the glory of Yah, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Do you know that these gates of the New Jerusalem are made of pearl? And I believe I have this down. Let's see. I did not record that scripture. Is it verse 21? Yes, there it is. Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. We have here 12 gates, which are 12 pearls. And in each pearl, there is a name of one of the tribes of Israel. Now, these are not the tribes of the blood tribes of Israel. These are the spiritual Israel tribes. Because the New Jerusalem is heavenly. The earthly Jerusalem was earthly. The new Jerusalem is heavenly. It's going to make more sense as we travel along here. Let's go to Luke 10. By the way, pearls are white stones. If he intended to say that he's giving us a white stone with our name in it, that would be the white pearl gate of the New Jerusalem with the name of our tribe in it. Luke 10. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're also written in stone upon the shoulders of the high priest. Your tribe name is written on the shoulder of the high priest. Your personal name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Remembrance as well. Matthew 6, let's go there. So if you, as a born-again Christian, are being carried on the shoulders of the high priest, to what tribe do you belong? The name of your tribe is engraved in stone there on the shoulders of the high priest. To what tribe do you belong? You say, I don't belong to any tribe. Well, church membership is the answer to that. Our tribe is the creation Seventh-day Adventists. There are 11 other tribes. Now, our tribe name will probably be translated into Hebrew when we go to heaven. But while we're on earth, we have to deal with our English heritage, and Yah honors that. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that he has given us our name. A father does that, you know. Father gives you your name. Let's look now at Matthew 6, verse 10. This is Yahshua's prayer. It's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I just want to point out this verse. Verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everything that's done in heaven, Yah would like to see done in earth. There are holy angels in heaven. He seeks to have a holy kingdom of priests on the earth. He writes the names of his people in heaven. And he says, rejoice not that you have power over the demons. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here we have an example of it being done on earth as it is in heaven. Our names are engraved in a gold setting. The faith of Yahshua. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. Now some will say, well, you're talking about denominationalism. No, we're not talking about denominationalism. We're talking about No, we're not talking about denominationalism. We're talking about family. We're talking about the family of Yah. We're talking about the children of Israel. We're talking about the tribes of Israel. We're talking about Yah's holy arrangement and order. Yah is very organized. If we study the children of Israel in the Old Testament there in the wilderness, everything was very organized. And in heaven, everything is very organized. And in earth, it must be the same. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We see the messenger calling heaven and earth as witnesses here, to record this day against the children of Israel. Remember, on the shoulders of the high priest it said, these stones are engraved for a record, a testimony. Yahshua once said, no man taketh up the plow to go forward and looks back. In another place he said, no man goes to war or goes to build an edifice unless he counts the cost first. For it would be very humiliating for a person to take up a job and not finish it. It would be sad for us to engrave our names in stone and not be settled into the truth in such a way that we cannot be moved. Yah is calling us to be sealed. He is calling us to be once saved, always saved. He is calling us to success, not failure. He is writing his law, or he has written his law in our forehead as a seal. He expects us to write our signature of commitment upon his covenant. Let's go to Hebrews and look at a little bit of the further understanding of the sanctuary in heaven. Hebrews chapter 8. One through five. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which Yah pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained or appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, that is, the law of Moses, who serve unto the example and shadow or image of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of Yah when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Moses was shown by Yah how to make these things, how to construct the tabernacle, how to make the clothing for the high priest, etc. This earthly was a shadow or image of the heavenly. So we must be a part of the tribes of Israel, engraved in the stone, sealed, or we shall not go through the gates of the city. We have a passport to the city. And as we travel along in this study, and perhaps next week, you will see how the church membership reflects our commitment and our relationship to the family in such a way that it becomes our passport through the gates of the city. Exodus 39. Let's review. We were in Exodus 28 before. We have Exodus 39 now. Exodus 39, 6 and 7. And they wrought or made onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold, graven, as seals are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put on them the shoulders, and he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial or record to the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses. Numbers 1. Let's go to Numbers 1. Numbers chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. And Yah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day. That was a new moon, by the way. On the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying this, take ye a census, or take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names. With the number of their names. That's with the number of people in each family. How many were in each family? That's a census. They were numbering the tribes. Verse 19 of that same chapter. As Yah commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. Do you know that we're going to be numbered? Revelation 7, 2 through 4. Let's look at it. Revelation 7, 2 through 4. I'm sorry I'm having to rush a little, but we want to keep this within an hour today. Revelation 7, 2 through 4, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. That's the 144,000. From the tribes of the children of Israel, that's spiritual Israel now. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, etc., etc. Each tribe had 12,000. We are numbered, dearly beloved. We are numbered among the tribes of Israel, of spiritual Israel. And we won't take up today whether these are literal numbers or whether they're spiritual, symbolic numbers. But suffice it to say, just as the children of Israel were numbered in ancient Israel, spiritual Israel is also numbered. And it has to do with the sealing, as we shall see. There is a parallel today. There is a parallel between ancient Israel and spiritual Israel. A parallel of coming out of Babylon. If you will remember, in ancient Israel, they failed to keep the commandments of Yah, especially did they fail to keep the Sabbath. And they were taken to captivity in Babylon, and 70 years they were held captive in Babylon. And then Cyrus, the Persian, delivered them and gave them permission to go back to their homeland and to rebuild Jerusalem. There is a parallel now. The Advent movement was raised up to call the faithful out of Babylon. For Christendom was taken Babylon by the papacy, taken captive by the papacy, and taken off into Babylon because they did not keep the commandments. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church was raised up, bringing the commandments back to view and calling those faithful souls out of Babylonian captivity. But what happened? Just as it happened in ancient Israel, when they got to Jerusalem, they didn't have courage to build their character. They didn't build up the walls. They didn't build up the city. And their work was futile. And almost a century later, faithful Ezra, and then a decade later or so, Nehemiah was called onto the scene to build the walls of the city. And what are the walls of the city but character? Today, we have Nehemiahs among us that are calling Israel back to character, the character of Christ. We started this study with all of those things that have been restored, those holy things that have been restored to Israel, to the church. And now today, we see Nehemiah in the person of creation Seventh-day Adventists and other faithful Adventists calling people out of Babylon and calling them back to the New Jerusalem, calling them back to the character of Yah and the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua. Well, in Nehemiah 9, we take up the story from which we draw the parallel. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. We have brought a message of repentance to modern Israel. And then Nehemiah 9:33. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. You might want to read this passage, this whole chapter 9. It's sort of a lamentation and a confession of all the wickedness that Israel had done in not keeping the commandments of Yah. But in verse 33, he's saying, even though we have done wickedly, Yah, you have always done justly by us. And then verse 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant. Now, the walls have been built back in Jerusalem now. The walls have been built back in Jerusalem here, and they're saying, and because of all of this, and having repented of all of our sins and such, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests seal unto it. Stay awake now. Don't go to sleep. Here we have a parallel. Modern day Israel now, we have rebuilt the walls of the city. We have come out of Babylon. We have reestablished the character of Christ, the living testimony, that we do those things that please our Father. We are the family of Yah. And now we make a sure covenant. And we go right back to the church covenant. Here it is. In the letter in the spirit of unity with Yah's church in heaven, we the undersigned who have sealed our names here, we hereby associate ourselves together as members of the body of Messiah, being identified as, and this is our particular tribe, St. Joseph Creation Seventh Day Adventist Church, covenanting to keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of His Son Yahshua, and accepting His character, accepting the walls being rebuilt, accepting His character as our heritage, Yah is our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6 and 33:16. We have sealed our names just as they did so here in Nehemiah, chapter 10. Now those that sealed were, and it gives all the names of those that sealed their names, to the sure covenant. Now, in terms of the sealing of the 144,000, we need to turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. That's the whole chapter. This, the spirit of prophecy tells us, is the story of the sealing of the 144,000. Ezekiel chapter 9. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen. Get your spiritual eyesight on. One man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of Yah of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold or doorstep of the old house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, go through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Do you see the picture? Are any of us upset? Are any of us sighing and crying over the abominations done in Christianity today? Yes. And the angel is going about seeking to mark us in the forehead with the name of Yah. Verse 5. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. That'll be the pastors and the so forth. We began with the most responsible ones in the church. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, and I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord, Yah, wilt thou destroy all of the remnant of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, Yah hath forsaken the earth, and Yah seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither shall I have pity, but I will repay their way upon their head. You remember Yah said before, vengeance is mine, saith Yah, I will repay. Verse 11, and behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Creation Seventh-day Adventists, as a tribe, have been called to bring this message to the world, the sealing message. We are inviting you to place your name upon the church covenant, to keep the commandments of Yah in the faith of Yahshua. We are inviting you to be sealed in the forehead with the name of our Father Yah. We turn to Revelation 14 to close this part of the study. Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, speaking of the 144,000 that are sealed, and now we must understand the sealing to be placing your name on Yah's side, having your name engraved in stone. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that to be sealed, here's the definition of being sealed, a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so that you cannot be moved. When you engrave your name in stone, it is not to be erased. When you place your name upon a Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church covenant, it should never be removed. You should be sealed unto the end by your name. Revelation 14, 1 through 5, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written or engraved in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto Yah and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yah. They are ready and prepared for translation. They are taken to the holy city, and they enter through the pearly gates without having experienced death. They are sealed. They are numbered. And they are family, members of the tribes of spiritual Israel, with their names engraved in the stones upon the shoulders of the high priest. Yes, church membership is biblical. Church membership is important. For the 144,000 shall have their names sealed on a sure covenant. A sure covenant that says we shall keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua. We invite you today to join us in that sure covenant. And next week, we will give more evidence of the importance of this church covenant. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, we thank you so much for your dear Son, who you gave as a sacrifice to save us from sin. We thank you, Father, that you have elected us. You have selected us. You have graven us on the palms of your hand. And you are calling us by the sealing message to be settled into the truth, both spiritually and intellectually, so that we cannot be moved. You are inviting us to have our names engraved in stone. You are wanting to give us a white stone with a new name written therein. Oh, Father, we want to go through the gates of that city. We long to see the face of our Father. Impress upon us, Father. Impress upon us where we are in time and what great responsibility we have as your dear children. Thank you for giving us a tribe name, and thank you for placing us in a tribe. May all the 144,000 find their tribes and be sealed, for the end is near. The high priest is about to leave the sanctuary, and probation will close forever. Bless us now together as we receive the remainder of the Sabbath blessing. In Yahshua's holy and precious name we pray. Dismiss us with your love. Amen.